Chia. I work for the Houston Department of Health and Human Services in the immunization program. And I'm here to talk about flu shots at polling places, sites, partisan politics, or public health. And this is actually what I'm going to do today is tell you a bit of a story of an interesting program that we had last year at this time of year, and to tell you the reaction of what happened with the program and why the public health and politics were in the same bed together in this particular program. As the title suggests, I'm about to talk about a program that had to do with influenza. Influenza, as you know, is a public health concern. It is a contagious respiratory illness that is caused by the influenza virus. It is serious. About 5 to 20% of the population is infected each year. 200,000 people are hospitalized, and 36,000 people die of influenza complications. And one of the top 10 causes of death in Texas is influenza. So in the health department, we are interested in trying to reduce the risk people have of getting influenza through annual flu vaccinations. And, of course, the groups are more likely to develop complications such as pneumonia, bronchitis, and ear infections are people who are over 65, the very young, or the people who have chronic medical conditions. And sometimes these groups have both. We came across in the spring of 2006, this program called Vote and Vaccinate, and it was a grant that was sponsored by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and it was to coordinate 25 different local health agencies on voting day. The idea is to come up with a venue that was convenient for people, especially the elderly or the senior citizens, to come and get their flu shot. A lot of people do vote, older people vote, and so the public health strategy was already tried in 2004 with some, and they expanded it in 2006. And the purpose is to overcome many of the impediments for low-income and hard-to-reach populations. And we were to target people over the age of 50, as the CDC recommended, at least one of the recommendations for the CDC. So let me tell you a little bit about Houston. It is the fourth largest city in the United States. It has 1.9 million residents, so there are a lot of people, and it's a very diverse population. It's 37% Hispanic, 31% white, 25% African Americans, and you have some Asians, about 5%, and 1% that are two or more races, and that's from the 2000 census. And the household income for people who make $20,000 or below, and I just chose this because $20,000 seemed to be a good cutoff. You can't do much with $20,000 if you think about it in your day-to-day life. So if you make below that, you're getting close to poverty. 26% of all households in Houston made below $20,000. 31% made less than $20,000 if you're 65 to 74, and it goes up to 41% when you're over 75 and over. A little bit about our voting system in Texas, because we looked at this when we applied for the grant. Okay, let's think a little bit outside the box. The grant called for to have an activity on actual voting day. And on voting day, of course, you go to your local precinct in your neighborhood and you vote. Well, that will get you a small number of people, a relatively small number of people, because they try to break it up into manageable portions. What we thought in the Houston Department of Health was, let's try to do early voting. Early voting, it starts about 2 weeks in advance for each election. In 2006, there were 33 polling sites, and you can vote. vote in any of these polling sites. You don't have to be in that particular area or neighborhood in order to vote at that particular voting site. So I can live in one side of town and vote near work, and I've done that before, and a lot of people have done that before. And in fact, in 2004, 42% voted early. So it was a good block chunk of people. And plus we thought, okay, if we do early voting, we have momentum, we have time to market it correctly and get more people to come in and get their flu shot. So we planned for 4 voting sites. We actually had planned for 5 and we ended up with 4. We couldn't get one of the sites that we had targeted. We collaborated with the AmeriGroup Foundation for the donation of 2,000 doses of vaccine. And we contacted the Harris County Clerk's Office and received a letter of support and a list of do's and don'ts in terms of, you know, don't talk about who you voted for, don't be too close to the site. As a matter of fact, they had a number of feet from the voting booths and everything like that. And as I mentioned, we decided to start in the early voting period. Our polling sites, because of the grants, because we're in public health, we targeted low-income areas. We targeted areas that had a higher percentage of people over 65. We also looked at past voting data in terms of what are the areas that had high voter turnout, because we wanted to get the most bang for our buck. And we looked at the medically underserved areas as designated by the Health Resource and Service Administration. And for our convenience and logistic reasons, we also looked at city-owned locations first before going to other types of sites. This is a map of Houston, which is mostly in Harris County and a little bit in Fort Bend County. So we basically dealt with the Harris County elections. And we proposed these sites here, Acres Homes, West End, Magnolia, Sunnyside, and Walter Library. And these were proposed sites because we were not exactly sure where the clerk's office was going to finally put their polling sites. They negotiated every year. But we at least knew where we wanted to target these neighborhoods. And as you can see, this map shows the Houston population 65 and above in poverty by our different neighborhoods. And the darker it is, the more impoverished these seniors are. And so we, again, chose sites that were in poverty. And then, as I mentioned before, we looked at the medically underserved areas. And what we did was we went to the PRSA website and downloaded this map of the different medically underserved areas. And with this, they had what they called an IMU score, which is Index of Medically Underserved. And it's a composite score of your infant mortality, your people over 65, which again is our criteria, and the percentage of the people per 100,000 was in terms of medical providers. So the darker, the more orange these areas are, the higher, the more medically underserved these people are. So again, we chose places that were in relative medical underserved areas, and some of them right next door to, like here, very next door to one that is very medically underserved. So here's the timeline of events. We started on October 26, 2006, and we set up our locations, but for some reasons we did not start immediately doing a press release until the following Tuesday. We had a press release. And what happened is that press release, in the old days, you would do a press release and it would just go to your newspaper and that would be about it. Now with the internet, anyone can pick up a press release. You'll release it on our website and the newspapers can pick it up and your bloggers can pick it up. that's what happened to us. The bloggers picked it up on the news story, and it also got into talk radio, and apparently it got picked up by the local Republican Party, and by the next day they had served the city of Houston with a lawsuit. Oh yeah, that was a shocker to us too. So the next day, the mayor held a press conference, and by the end of that day, we had to leave our co-located sites. So even though we were targeting our low-income neighborhoods, even though we were targeting people who actually needed the flu shot, we didn't realize that it became a political problem or a political issue until the general public got it. And before then, before the press release came in, we had more word of mouth kind of campaign going. A lot of the people who were at the sites were coming in because, oh, they're doing a flu shot here, and we were getting a good response from there and no negative reaction beforehand. So this is what our clinic use during the program looked like. We were doing okay. We were sort of, getting that little word of mouth up, and then the press release came in, and then we had to move, and people were confused and didn't know where to go. We had to dip in our numbers. Recovered, but never really quite recovered with this particular campaign. So we ended up vaccinating 1,627 people, which was pretty good. It was a little bit short of our goal. As I said, we had 2,000 donated vaccines, and we're going to do another 1,000 on our own. We did 1,161 at our co-located sites and 466 at our clinic only sites. And when we looked at the data afterwards, we reached 69.4% came from medically underserved areas. As I mentioned before, even though we targeted those areas, you can come from anywhere in Houston in order to get the flu shot during the early voting period. And this is a map of our clients who came into the sites. And they came from, they're concentrated in those neighborhoods, but they came from all over. And some of these areas, if you know the city of Houston, are a little bit more affluent than you would expect someone to come over and get a flu shot for this particular campaign from, and pretty far. Like, this is down here in Clear Lake where NASA is. You have a lot of high-paying jobs. Over here is Northwest Houston, and some of them are from Harris County itself, not from Houston. And that area is pretty well off, too. So we got a whole mixture of people in terms of income come in. Our average age that received the flu shot with our program was 65.2 years. And the 35.1% said they were not very likely or not sure if they would have received a flu shot somewhere else. So we were introducing a whole new group of people to the flu shot. So we were getting the people that we wanted to get in the first place. And 39.9% did not receive one the previous year. So again, we had sufficiently broken down enough barriers that people were coming in to get a flu shot. We did not ask them to vote. We did not ask them if they voted. We were just concerned about getting them vaccinated. Now, this is another interesting part, the media reaction. I just wanted to show you the headlines that we received from locally and nationally, actually. Houston Chronicle: Houston mayor cancels free flu shots at polling places. Okay. FoxNews.com, Houston flu shots at Houston polls end after GOP alleged ploy to get more Dems to vote. You get to the idea of what the Republicans were crying about. Houston Republicans have bad reaction to flu shots. And the New York Times, flu shot program is ended after GOP cries politics. So somehow in the mix of things, it became from a public health program to a conspiracy with the mayor that we were trying to do something in order to get the Democrats to vote. As I said, the Republicans perceived the program as a get-out-to-vote drive. They objected to, and because we had donated vaccines, we had to give them away for free. You can't give away something that you got for free in the first place, so we had the free shots at the polling locations. And they objected that the clinics were located in Democratic neighborhoods, which is something that never crossed our minds. We didn't even look at our neighborhoods as being Democratic or Republican. And some of the news stories called the whole affair Flugate. So we actually graduated to a whole gate with this program. To do a little comparison of what we thought and what the political perception of thought, we thought, okay, we're giving free influenza vaccines. We are reducing barriers to care, reducing a security risk because we don't have to collect money at the site. And they're donated vaccines, so obviously we were not going to charge. Political perception is we're enticing people to vote, which would skew your results for the election, and we're in disenfranchising other voters. The voting locations we thought were socioeconomic disadvantaged neighborhoods in high-volume areas, and the other ones that on the other hand, we were targeting minorities who are more likely to vote Democratic. And why us? Because there were, as I mentioned before, there were 25 different programs nationally. Well, we were charging for free, and other programs were either charging $20, such as Galveston, or they were getting reimbursement through Medicare Part B. We decided to start early and do early voting and therefore give people more time to learn about the program, but unfortunately, not everybody agreed with our program. And Galveston and most other programs did it on voting day itself. But our locations were the same. We did 4 targeted areas to access to care, and a program like Allison did 3 targeted for care, and according to news stories, they were also in Democratic areas. So what do we take from this? Is that we should design programs to be as diverse as possible. We shouldn't leave out one group of people and try to look at all sides of the issue before designing the program. Identify and consider all stakeholders' interests and our input. Maybe we should have looked at a little bit politically since it is in a political venue. And remember that government-run programs are connected to politics. Even if it wasn't at polling locations, other programs that we have run, such as our mobile units, have some political ramifications, such as sometimes we have to service people in areas which are more affluent because those people want the services there. Any questions? Thank you for listening to my story, our story. I did talk to a think tank who did a study, and they couldn't detect any. They thought there might have been, but it wasn't significant. And as a matter of fact, they're trying to compare it to other programs, but since the programs were different across the board, there were variations, they couldn't really tell what was happening with that. Anyone? The Amerigroup Foundation. It seemed to be a convenient venue for older Americans. They tend to vote. About half of older Americans in that age group do vote, so we know that they're going to be there. And it was just a get-out, an awareness drive at the time of year when people should be thinking about getting a flu shot. My director is nodding yes, so I guess so.